talking about the church. Ephesians chapter 1. We're a tad late. That's because we did all that baptizing, so that's okay with you, right? All right. Chapter 1, 7-8 verses I've got for you from 15 to 23. Bible says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's what we heard about this morning. Amen? These folks up there talking about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're stepping towards Him. I like what you said, Steve. It's like, I did that because you said it's important. And you know why we do that? Because Jesus said it was important. And so Paul is writing to this church talking about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for all the saints. He says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Lord, we come before You this morning, and Lord, we thank You for the work that You do in this church, Lord, the work that You have done, and Lord, the work that You're doing right now, right today, Lord, that You touch people's hearts, Lord, and that You make a safe place, a haven, by which, Lord, we can come and experience Your power, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your saving touch, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would give us understanding on what You have for us, Lord, that You give us understanding for the church. We can understand Your plan for City Heights Assembly, that we can understand Your plan for each one of us in our families, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, Lord. We'll give You praise for that. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Paul writes this letter to the church. He writes this letter to the church in Ephesus. Start off, it's the only map I got for you. I don't want to wear you out or anything. But over here is Jerusalem. You got Israel over here. This is modern-day Turkey. That's Greece. That's Italy. And there you got Ephesus, right on the coast, on the western edge of Turkey. This is a letter to the church, and it's a letter about the church. You know, I love the church. Anybody out there love church? I love church. I came to the church, and I got a picture of what I had been missing my entire life. And I walked in, I said, man, this is good. I was confused. I was looking for God. I was trying to understand the word. It wasn't going in. And all of a sudden, I ran into these folks. Man, I went to church, and it was like a picture of heaven for me. I was so lost. I was so messed up. And it's like an advanced photo of heaven. You go to heaven, and maybe not everybody in this room is going to be there. I don't know your heart. The Lord does. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you'll end up in heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. So we have this new series called The Church, A Place for You. And we're going to be talking about the church, and we're going to be learning about the church. And some people have a wrong picture of the church. Some people just don't have it right. In the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about finding what church is supposed to be and talk about finding your place in the church. Now, if you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior, like these folks who got baptized up here today did, then you are headed to heaven. And the church is the place for you. The church is what the Lord has designed, the place for you to grow and mature and to learn and do all this stuff while you are waiting to get to heaven, while you are on your way to heaven. I have this interesting thing I'd like to show you today. See, the church is like a train headed to heaven. You get on the train, and as you are going to heaven, all kinds of things happen on the way. Can I get a witness on that? Now, some people have a bad picture of the church. You might have had a picture of church. The church is boring or it's no good. It's like, oh, you know, I want to go to church. But you know what? That is not all about what church is. You stick around after church today. You'll find out how much fun we got at see. Church is a nice place. Good things happen at church. See, we are waiting. See, God has chosen the church as a place to manifest his presence. I don't get in trouble for this, okay? But you can almost think of the church as the soul train. Yeah, I know. That's pretty bad. Okay. But, so the Lord has provided. That is, you know, as I do that, that's pretty bad. But the church is a place for you, right? As you are headed to heaven, this is where you come to learn, to grow, and to understand. And we're going to talk about understanding God today. Amen? Church, a place for you, heading toward heaven. Point number one, moving away from ignorance. Moving away, moving out of ignorance. Paul says in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul is praying for help that we might understand God. And he says that we need some spiritual assistance, that we need spiritual help. We ask ourselves, why? It is because we come to the Lord and I'm going to use a Christian word here, we're carnal. We are worldly. We're earthly. It's like what you see is what you get. I can believe what I can see. I can believe what I can touch. And we need some help opening ourselves to the spiritual realm. So where do we get that help? We get that help from the Lord. See, we need a spirit, no, it's a capital S, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation that would come so that we can move from the natural, from what we can see, from what we can touch, to the supernatural. See, God is big. God is infinite. God is eternal. And it is hard to take our minds and wrap our finite minds around infinite concepts. See, we are limited in our existence. And Paul says, you need some help. Can I get a witness? It's kind of like this door up here. I come to this door and there's good stuff in here. You know, it's like, wow, it's a door. And I want to get the stuff. And it's like, it's locked. I can't get in. But if I have a key, do I have a key? I have a key. If I come with the key, then the door is open and I can get into the stuff I want to get. And so Paul is saying, I am wishing that God would unlock your mind so that you can understand him and that so that you can know him. Is that good? You getting that part? See, we need to get some help. And the greatest thing, great news, I got some other great news for you, but some of the greatest news that I got for you today is that the Lord wants you to know him. And he's not limited by intelligence. He's not limited by language. He will come with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and reveal himself to you just like opening up that door. Amen? All right. Point number two, knowing opportunity. So we can know God. We need to know our opportunity. We need to know what is available to us. Paul says, I pray also, so I'm praying that you can get the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the door of your mind would be open. Like little Addie said earlier, or actually on Thursday, she didn't say it today. She says, yeah, I want the Lord to write his word on my mind. Amen. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. So that's one of the opportunities we have, is a hope the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And see, one of the biggest problems that we have, that I had as a new Christian, I was coming around trying to, I had this King James Bible, I was reading it, I was so confused, I couldn't understand it, and I did not understand what was available to me. I lived in ignorance. Doesn't mean I was stupid, it means that I was untrained, I was unaware of the opportunities. Lisa and the kids started watching this new show. Anybody know who that guy is? It's this show on TLC. What is that? The Learning Channel? Yes. The Travel Channel or something like that? The Learning Channel. And the show is called From Inedible to Incredible. Has anybody seen that? You saw it. Yeah, okay. And it's kind of like an interdiction. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you got these druggies and stuff, you know, and you have an interdiction and you take them out of their drug environment. Well, this is a cooking interdiction. And what it is, it's for these I just saw one show, okay? So I don't know. It might not be all ladies, but it was a lady that was cooking on this day. And she thought she was the greatest cook on the planet. But she was the only one. And her family kind of, you know, her family they on these shows, they call up, you know, like Oprah, you know, the mother shows. I don't know really all them shows, but, you know, people say terrible things about their family. Well, they call and rat out the fact that mom can't cook, and she doesn't know the fact that she can't cook. And so this guy shows up one day, and he's a chef, and he says, guess what? It's like, what? They got cameras all over the place. You can't cook. It's, what do you mean? And then they go through and have her cook all this great stuff. And he says, you know what? This is just terrible. This is, oh, really? And it's like covered with grease and oil. And then he begins to show her how to cook. And they shop and they do all this stuff. And she makes this incredible food. And she begins to eat what she makes. And she's going, man, this is really good. Okay, now let me have you taste your other food that you were making. Just, oh, yeah, this is kind of bad. And what is she doing? She's moving from ignorance to understanding. And the end of the show, they have this little dinner party for all of her family, and she cooks these three dishes, and the chef comes in, and everybody's happy because she's cooking good now, and the chef gets all the props. Paul is saying, you guys need to understand what is available to you. Because so often, you're happy with nothing. You're happy with so much that is less. He says, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you. Prophet Jeremiah says, God talking to through the prophet, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, do you know that you have that? Or are you just trying to get through the week? Do you realize that there is something waiting for you down the line, that there are some opportunities that are available for you today? In fact, he says, I pray that you might understand the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, right? And you know, and we can be so wrong in understanding about inheritance, our inheritance that comes from God. Now, when do you think you get this inheritance? When you die. When you get to heaven, I'm going to get my inheritance. How wrong is that? You get inheritance when somebody else dies. Am I right on that? You leave an inheritance when you die. And see, we're under the understanding that, oh yeah, I'm going to get my inheritance when I die. Wrong. Who died? Jesus died on the cross so that you can have an inheritance. Where? The inheritance that is in the saints. Where are the saints? The saints are right here in this room. The saints are right here in this church. Amen. The church, the saints are on the train. And your inheritance is on the train. Amen. You don't have to wait for your inheritance. You can start receiving your inheritance right now. That's why Paul's saying, man, I wish you guys could understand this. You guys got it all wrong. You think all the rewards come down the road. No way. We got all kinds of stuff that's happening right now. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? Yes. Amen. All right. The opportunity for more. Talking about 9a, 18. Let's see, I get that right? The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. When? When you die? No. Right now. See, the opportunity for more, we get no power. We get no power. So we can know God, we can know our opportunities, and now Paul starts talking about knowing power. What kind of power? God power. Power that's available to us right now. Now, how do you come to understand the power that is available to you? How do you come to know that power that is available to you right now? Well, you talking about power. You could sit down next to President Obama, and you could be thinking, wow, check this guy out. He's got Secret Service guys all over the place. He's got people. This guy has power. But I think Paul is talking about more than that. I think Paul is talking about more than just seeing power, but to experiencing power, not just being aware of it. Now, I've told some of you this story before, but when I was in high school, this is a 1975 Nova, okay? And anybody ever have a Nova? This thing had a 350cc motor in it. And I was dating Tammy Nee. Tammy Nee, about the opposite of my wife. She was 4 feet 11. Lisa is 6 feet, so like full grown. And Tammy Nee, her dad gave her this car. Not this car, but one just like it. And so it's like, okay, she's in the driver's seat. I jump in there. And 350, man, 4-barrel carb on that thing. And I just said, punch it. And she looked at me and she said, I would never. And so many of us live our lives like that. I would never. Guess what? If she never did while I was driving with her, well, I ever saw her, if she never punched that thing, she would have never experienced the power of a 350cc motor, 4-barrel carb in a Nova. And I'll tell you what, that thing would be ripping down that road. But she never experienced it. Paul is saying, I wish you guys could experience the power of God. How do you experience the power of God? How do you punch it with God? Because some of us hold back. It's like, man, if I really release myself to God, I don't know where he's going to take me. I don't trust him enough to really just kind of let go. See, God is opening this door for you, and he's saying, I have got so much good stuff in here for you, but many of us are afraid to go in because we don't know when we'll come out, if we'll ever come out, and what we'll be like if we come out. And so we never experience a life-transforming power of God. And Paul is writing to this church. It was a radical church. And he's saying, I wish you could know him. I wish you could understand the opportunities that are available to you. And I wish you could understand the power that is available to you through him. Second part of this verse. That power, the power that he wants you to know, the punch it power, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So we know the power and we know the possibilities. See, Paul is telling us how it worked for Jesus. How did it work for Jesus? Jesus surrendered himself to the Jews. He could have got away. He knew when they were coming. He could have dodged them. He surrendered himself to the Jews, and they lied on him, they beat him, and they killed him. And he was humiliated, hanging on a cross before everybody he ever knew. And then look what God does. First thing he does, raises him from the dead. Second thing he does, gives him a position of authority a position over everything. And why did that happen? How did that happen? It happened because Jesus trusted himself to the Father. And that's great news for us today. Because maybe you've been humiliated in this life. And because of this word, there's an opportunity for you. There's a chance for you. Maybe you feel that life has chewed you up and spit you out. And I pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus for you. I pray that you might know the incomparably great power of God raising you from the dead. Just like those folks that were baptized. You know why we put them down in the water? It signifies dying to your old life and then being raised to new life. Just like Jesus, the incomparably great power that is available for you to say, Lord, I trust you enough to go through the door, and Lord, I trust you enough that what I'll look like when I come out will be brand new and something different. Now that's good news for somebody out there. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? Glory to God. I'm glad you came to church. You've got to get your ticket to heaven. You've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, you know what, I need that. I need that today. You can have that today. All right, point number three. The church is something entirely different. I mean, I'll tell you what, I came to church and wow, this is radical. Knowing a new structure. Check this out now. This will blow your mind. It says that God placed all things, not some things, not a few things. God placed all things. Where? See, now, Jesus was raised from the dead, right? And that everything was subject to him, right? Every ruler, authority, power, and all this kind of stuff. And he says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. And you can leave off those last couple of words. For the church. You're saying, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, I got the whole Jesus thing, high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father. He waits for his enemies to make a footstool, every authority, every power, everything is subject to him. But wait a minute. It's for the church? So you don't forget that part, that there is a purpose, that there is a new structure, that we are the beneficiaries of that new structure. And Paul is saying, I wish you could understand your position as being in the church, being on your way to heaven, that God is doing some mighty things. He placed all things under his feet. Like what? Like rulers, back to verse 21, rulers, authorities, powers of this world, and spiritual forces of evil. And he does it, why? He does it for the church. He does it for the opportunity. If you're headed for heaven, it is for the benefit of those who surrender their life to him. Makes a lot of people angry. Thinking, like who? Like rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil. So what do? They attack the church. Right? They try to confuse you. They try to mess with you. They try to tell you that you can do anything you want. In the church, it don't matter. There's no rules. There's no limits. No, I don't believe that. So they'll say, hey, everybody gets to go. There's room on the train for everybody. Why do they do that? Because they don't want to be subject to Jesus. And they want to take as many people down with them as possible. So, when you're on your way to heaven, you need to understand that there is going to be some opposition. No matter how many opportunities you have, no matter how many possibilities you have, no matter how much power you have, there are those who will come against you and try to defeat you. Amen? So, you're headed to heaven, but you got to be on guard. Amen. All right. So, it says, he appointed him everything to be the head over everything for the church. This, again, is so good. I'm good on time, too. Which is his body, the fullness. Everybody say fullness, please.
Fullness.
Oh. Say that again. Fullness.
Fullness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get a grip on this, man. See, okay, this is back right up. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And I'm just tingling just talking about that because I've been studying this for several days, and you'll be tingling in a minute. Because we're talking about knowing a new structure and knowing the fullness of God. See, we talk about church, and the church is something incredibly unique. It is something incredibly special, and Paul tells, he's writing this letter to the church, about the church, and he says that the church is the body of Christ. Now, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, and we talked about Jesus being the head, and what does the head do? The head does the thinking, and the head does the talking, and what does the body do? The body does the moving and the lifting and the touching, and that is what we are supposed to be doing as the church for our head, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Body is for impact. And we read, folks, that the church is the fullness of God. I got this picture. Them pictures of trains. And I grabbed this picture because this train's shiny and there's all this light in there. Doesn't that look good? Did you want to be in there, right? And he says that Jesus, that his fullness is in the church, and he fills everything and everywhere. There's nowhere you can go. Writer of Psalms says, I can go to the mountaintops, and you're there, and I can go to the depths, and you're there. You're everywhere. And we talked about on Wednesday night that Jesus holds everything together. But Paul says that there is something special about the church. There is something special about this right here, that this right here, all of his fullness is resident in the church. His glory he pours out in the church. A radiant church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And I just had this train just radiant with light. It is unique on the planet. Headed towards heaven. God is pouring out his fullness into the church. Can't get that anywhere else. Jesus described it. I'm sorry, that's the other verse I had. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. And we got a whole lot more than two or three are here today. Amen? And Jesus says, you come together in my name, I am right there in the midst of you in a unique way that happens nowhere else. Paul says, the fullness of God revealed in the church. John 14:14, Jesus talking, ask anything in my name. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Unique position of authority and privilege and opportunity that the church has with our Lord. So as we come to that today, the opportunity for the church, time to get on board, folks. You got to make sure that you have your ticket to get on.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to confuse anybody. The church is not going to take you to heaven. Jesus takes you to heaven. But he has fashioned a body that you get to reside in, that you need to learn in, live in, grow in, that you can have a position of authority. And the people here being, Steve, I love it, says, yeah, I got baptized because you said I need to. The reason I said he needs to is because Jesus said you need to do it. There's stuff that God has set up for you to be involved in. The church is for people that are on their way to heaven. Now, I got to think there's several people that are here today and things have just clicked in place. And you're just kind of going, oh, I don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't think I'm going to heaven. But I want to go. I need a ticket to get on the train. Ticket is just like all those kids and adults that got baptized today. I said, yeah, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Lisa's going to come up and play a song for us. And I want to pray with you. Now she comes, would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you for our freedom to come to this place and worship you today. But Lord, so much more than this country, which is a great country, is the church. The fullness, your fullness, your glory poured out right here among us, Lord. And there are some folks here that don't know you, that you have invited here this day for a ticket to heaven. You got a ticket to heaven today? I just want you to just pray for this next couple of minutes. Right now, the Lord is just tapping you on the shoulder, saying, my child, don't miss out. I open the door for you. Been an opportunity for you. Today is the day to get on. Nobody's looking around, but our Lord Jesus Christ has sent a spirit of revelation to you today, and he is calling you into relationship to him. You've been afraid to walk through the door. Today you've come to a position of trust. You say, Lord, I'll trust you with my life. I'll surrender my life to you. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you. I surrender my life, and I'm not looking back. And I want to get on, Lord. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. It's just like he's sitting right next to you, and he's saying, today's for you. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I need a ticket back here and here and here and here, here. Maybe I'll say, Lord, let me in. Help me, Lord. I'm lost. I don't want to be lost anymore. Train's pulling out. Last chance. Didn't put your hand up before, but the Lord is all over you. You're saying, Lord, I want to get on. Right back here. Anybody else? Last shot here. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness in this place. Lord, I thank you for your fullness in this place, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak to hearts among us, Lord, that you meet your servants here, Lord, that you are mighty and awesome, Lord, and that you got a ticket to ride for us, Lord. When we come into your church, we can grow, we can learn about you, we wait for heaven. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, we're going to sing a song, we're just going to continue to worship.